Epilogue. The world was now plunged into a monetary chaos of fiat money, competing devaluation, exchange controls, and warring monetary and trade blocs, accompanied by a network of protectionist restrictions. These warring blocs played an important, though neglected, part in paving the way for World War II. This trend toward monetary and other economic nationalism was accentuated when the United States, the last bastion of the gold coin standard, devalued the dollar and went off that standard in 1933. The Franklin Roosevelt branch of the family had always been close to its neighbors, the Astors and Harrimans, and American politics, since the turn of the 20th century, had been marked by an often bitter financial and political rivalry between the House of Morgan, on the one hand, and an alliance of the Harrimans, the Rockefellers, and Kuhn Leb, on the other. Accordingly, the early years of the Roosevelt New Deal were marked by a comprehensive and successful assault on the House of Morgan, that is, in the Glass-Steagall Act, outlawing Morgan-type integration of commercial and investment banking. In contrast to the Morgan dominance during the Republican era of the 1920s, the early New Deal was dominated by an alliance of the Harrimans, Rockefellers, and various retailers, farm groups, the silver bloc, and industries producing for retail sales. For example, automobiles and typewriters, all of whom were now backing an inflationist and economic nationalist program. When the British, backed by the Morgans, convened a World Economic Conference in London in June 1933, to try to restabilize exchange rates, the plan was scuttled at the last minute by President Roosevelt, under the influence of the inflationist, economic, nationalist bloc. The Morgans were taking a shellacking at home and abroad. It was only in 1936, by the good offices of leading Morgan banker Norman Davis, a longtime friend of Roosevelt's, and of Democrat Morgan partner Russell Leffingwell, that the Morgans would begin to recoup their political losses. The beginning of the return of the Morgans was symbolized by the September 1936 tripartite monetary agreement, partially stabilizing the exchange rates of the currencies of Britain, France, and the U.S., a collaboration that was soon extended to Belgium, Holland, and Switzerland. These agreements, in addition to the dollar still remaining on an international, but not domestic, gold bullion standard at $35 an ounce, set the stage for the Morgan Drive organized by Norman Davis, head of Morgan's Council of Foreign Relations, to bring a new world gold exchange standard out of the cauldron of World War II. The difference is that this inflationary, quote, Bretton Woods system would be a dollar, not a sterling, gold exchange standard. Moreover, this inflationary system under the cloak of the prestige of gold was destined to last a great deal longer than the British venture, finally collapsing at the end of the 1960s.